It's time for today's episode of the UGA Sports Live Podcast, recorded in front of a slightly tipsy studio audience at world-famous Champy's Fried Chicken. We will have the latest on Georgia Bulldogs football, basketball, and recruiting. Watch live and send us your questions on the 11 Alive Sports page on Facebook. Be advised, this podcast is off the record and not safe for work. Also, be sure to subscribe to the UGA Sports Live Podcast on iTunes and Google Play.
Everybody, welcome to the UGA Sports Live Podcast here from Champy's on Baxter Street. My name is Roddy Nabulsi. I'll be your host for the next hour or so. I'm joined by Jake Roos, the recruiting coordinator slash guru at UGASports.com, and the former head coach of the University of Georgia Bulldogs, Jim Donnan. Late happy birthday to you, Coach.
Thanks. Appreciate it.
So, how many this year, Coach?
In the fourth quarter, man. 73.
Well, I would never have guessed that. I think you're making it up. Just try to work out some of those retirement benefits.
You know. Hey, I'm just glad every one of them I get.
We have a great show for you. We're going to talk about the state of the program. Coach Donnan is going to break down some recruiting for you, the SEC race, the facilities, the state of the team, and we're going to answer your questions, so get your questions in. You can put them in right there on that 11 Alive Facebook page where you're watching the show right now. Just go ahead and enter them. Jake will keep up with them, and he'll ask them throughout the show, so get your questions in. Before we get started, we got to give a big shout out to Champy's for letting us come in here and, you know, take over their place. They give us free food and beer, and it's all great. I've been chowing down on these fried jalapeno chips right here. I haven't eaten anything this morning. I'm starting with those.
That's a hell of a breakfast.
That is the breakfast of Champy's.
That'll wake you up.
That and Founders beer. So having those, we've got the wings down here and the fries, and they're going to have a Super Bowl special.
Yeah, Super Bowl party on Sunday. If you guys don't have any plans, make sure you get out here to Champy's. And even if you do, this is probably a lot better than what you got planned. Don't dirty up the kitchen. Fried pork chop sandwich and a patty melt. You got to love that.
Fried pork chop
sandwich. I'll tell you, everything I've had these guys cook, the chicken's phenomenal. Everything's good, though. Yeah. Josh is a great cook. $4 local beers on taps, and they're going to have some shot deals, too. So get out here. You know, you can tie one on for the Super Bowl. Get you an Uber home and really enjoy this thing up. I think that, you know, it's probably not the most popular Super Bowl pairing in the history of Georgia sports. So, you know, come out and have a good time.
I'm going to take this fried basket of jalapenos versus the chicken, the pork chop sandwich. That'll be my Super Bowl right there. See, let those two battle it out. Speaking of sponsors, we need to thank Athens Ford. I was talking to some of the folks out there last week. You need to get out to Athens Ford right now. They have some lease deals on these vehicles that are just absolutely insane. They were stunned. They couldn't believe the deals that they have. And this isn't, you know, hey, tell people about this. This was like, Roddy, we can't believe these deals. I mean, they were kind of shocked. So if you want one of those Raptors, the Ford F-150, you know, and, of course, everything you get out there has that lifetime powertrain warranty on it. The only place you can get it out is the Athens Ford. Go out there. You know, and if you decide you want to buy one, you get a lifetime warranty. And if you want to lease one, the deals they have are absolutely insane. So swing out to Athens Ford. It's the only Ford dealership in Athens. Tell them that Coach Donnan sent you. You know, maybe they'll hook you up. Tell them I sent you. They're probably going to charge you extra. So just tell them you know Coach Donnan, and they'll get you squared away. We also want to thank Your Pie. Drew French and the folks out at Your Pie, the big sponsor of the show, big fans. The best pizza you can get. You swing into any of the 50 plus locations of Your Pie. We had a guy who went for the first time last Tuesday. He was back in there last Saturday. He's like, Roddy, you created a monster.
Yeah.
He had his first taste. He was back in twice in the same week. So trust me, if you go into Your Pie, it's not a pie joint. It's a pizza place. They do have gelato, though. That's killer. So if you need a little, if your sweet tooth is acting up, you got kids after a baseball game, swing by Your Pie. If you don't get them all pizza, you can get them all the gelato ice cream. It's phenomenal. So swing by to Your Pie. And again, you're supporting a guy who supports Georgia, just like if you go to Athens Ford. Or if you, not that you can buy anything out there, but you can swing out by Cable East in Statham, Georgia. Talk to Robert Wall, say hi to him. Nothing out there you can buy, but he supports the dogs and he supports our show. So a big shout out to Robert Wall.
Cool guy to talk to.
Yeah, exactly. actually, though, you know, he does play a lot of golf, you know, so if you're out at the Georgia Club or you want to go to any of his charity events, that's a good guy to know. We also want to thank 365 Game Day. That's a great place to get all your Georgia gear. If you want to get your SEC championship gear, you know, your salt and pepper shakers, a little logo that goes around your license plate, new shirt, jacket, whatever, with the Georgia stuff on it, you can swing out to 365gameday.com, click on Georgia. They have, like, I think 6 or 7 schools. You know, and if you got a friend that's a big Auburn or FSU or Alabama fan, you can get them something from 365 Game Day, too. So I want to thank all of our sponsors. I don't want to leave out my – I won't say it's my favorite sponsor, but there are times. Say thanks to Founders Brewing.
Cheers.
Cheers, sir. I have the Dirty Bastard. That's a wonderful porter. I think it's phenomenal.
And, of course, the All Day IPA. Which I have noticed is catching on all around Athens. I've seen quite a few people drinking on that.
That's what I'm saying. I've had a lot of people say, "Hey, I had my first Founders the other day. Where's this been all my life?" And don't get me wrong. There's some, like you said, the $4 local beers that they're going to have this Sunday. There are some great breweries here in Athens, but for these guys being in Michigan, there's a reason they're one of the hottest and most liked. Can I still call it a microbrewery?
Not at this point. Technically, in terms of market share, yes. Okay. In terms of distribution, not even close.
Okay. Anyway, it's really a great brewery that everybody I know who enjoys working with Founders. They've been great to us. So if you get a chance, try the All Day IPA. Try the Dirty Bastard, and they have some phenomenal things like Kentucky Oatmeal Bourbon Stout. The Breakfast Stout. Excuse me. I've heard wonderful things about it. I'm dying to find some. So if you know of any,
good luck.
Hit up your boy. Anyway, well, we're going to jump into the show. Coach, you were talking about you wanted to give the state of the program.
Yeah, I think the best thing to keep everybody on here today, we're going to do that right at the end today, if that's okay because that's get the questions and all. We might be answering some of these questions in the state. But, you know, I just feel like that at this time of year when you're getting ready to go into spring practice and finish up recruiting and all, and just to take a little from Donald Trump tonight, I'm going to actually do the state of the dog deal there. So I think everybody will enjoy it, and I put a lot of prep into it. I don't have a teleprompter, but I got some heavy stuff for you.
That's
what you call a tease to the max.
Well, he is a television professional. He's been doing it for years, ESPN, SEC Network. You even do the Paul Feinbaum show. I'm impressed you can do that one.
Well, you know, I used to do Paul when I first got out of coaching. We used to do radio hit every week, and then he got big time.
That was back in the day, yeah.
Yeah, he got big time, has his own network thing now. But, you know, the best thing about it now is you can go over to UGA, and they have a little – place there where you can, you know, I think people see David Pollock on there
all the time.
Now you can actually get, you know, a link up right away to the SEC Network or ESPN or whatever you want to, and it looks like it's a live deal, which it is. And used to be, though, we used to, when you had to do live stuff for ESPN, you had to go to Atlanta for a hookup and all
that.
I'd
go down to the CSS.
Yeah, you do that or go to the ESPN zone, which I don't think they even have anymore. Yeah. And
that's a throwback. A
couple times they actually
Dave used to work there.
a couple times they actually sent a truck to my house.
What?
Because it was breaking news. And
oh, that's awesome.
I really felt big time. A lot of my neighbors were really concerned about what was going on there. But it was just amazing the amount of money that they put for a truck like that. And then you had a makeup girl and you had a producer and you had a cameraman. And just for like 5 minutes of total BS.
Normally you don't want to see the camera crews rolling up to your front door. But nah. I guess in that situation it was all right.
We're going to jump right into questions. You know, so
let's get them. This is a hot
time. Yeah, if you got some for us today, send them in. Go ahead and knock those out. I know one of the big things to be talking about is going to be recruiting. Obviously, we are 1 week from tomorrow.
I mean, that was the first question before we got even in the doors.
Yeah.
How many spots are left in this recruiting class? I mean, what you said is 1 week from tomorrow?
1 week from tomorrow, yeah.
Oh, my God. So we're going to have to make our plans for signing day. We might be in a bunch of different cities. But the question that keeps popping up, Georgia signed 20 players. And we have something that you just came out like 20 minutes ago.
Was it a hot board or something?
Well, we did the hot board last week. We'll update it this week. There was a kind of a give and take, if you will. Two different people gave their version of whether or not this Georgia class is the greatest in the history of the Rivals era. Rivals been around since like 1997. There's only been one other team Well, there's only been one team in the SEC to secure the signatures of 7 5-stars. That was Alabama a couple years ago. Or 1 year ago?
Yeah, that was 1 year.
1 year ago. Alabama signed 7 5-stars. One of the greatest classes of all time. And we saw a bunch of those freshmen in that SEC championship game, those 5-star guys. There has been a team that has signed 8 5-stars. And that was USC in
2004. Yeah.
So Georgia has the possibility of – has already signed 7. You know, the most they've ever done is 3. They've signed 7 5-stars now with a possibility of an 8th. You can, that Tyson Campbell kid out of American Heritage.
Yep.
Top-end cornerback, high 5-star guy that, you know, everybody wants. Georgia gets him, they would tie USC. But you look at past the 5-stars. You have very high-ranked 4-stars.
Yes.
So top to bottom, this class is loaded. Even a couple of your 3-stars. I mean, let's look at Camarda.
Jake Camarda. You
know, one of the number one kickers in the nation. And then you have a guy like Owen Condon, who is a 6'8", 6'7", you know, offensive tackle, who could definitely outplay his ranking. So top to bottom, this is one ridiculous class, and they've got 20 of them. So top to bottom, you got 20 guys already signed. There's only 5 spots left. You only signed 25. You still have 2 commits. And Jordan Davis, big defensive tackle out of
Mallard Creek High School in Charlotte.
And then Tremel Walther, another much smaller defensive lineman.
Yeah, everybody's smaller than Jordan Davis, man. Come on.
This guy, needs to grow a bit. So you got 2 defensive linemen, which you definitely need in this class. So that only leaves you with 3 spots left. You got to think you're holding one for Tyson Campbell, one for Bush.
I think Tommy Bush has a spot if he wants it, yeah.
So, and then you got one left for either Quay Walker or Otis Reese.
Or, you know, there's some names that are still floating around
so
the periphery.
This is your thing.
Sandridge.
Yeah.
Yeah, Rick Sandridge. Sure.
So, here's your question that pops up. I mean, like I said, the minute I walked in the door, I was asked, how many spots do they got left and who do they end with? So,
well, here's the deal that every coach goes through, regardless if you're in the top 2 or 3 like we are, or if you're down in the lower echelon, you've got to decide who you're going to take, but at the same time, who can you get? So you got to keep some people, what we used to say, keep them hot, you know, and you know, basically tell them that here's a situation, we're looking, I know you're looking, but we definitely got a scholarship for you, or, you know, if this doesn't work, we do have one for you. And that's the only thing you can do is be completely candid. So that's why you see maybe some of these guys haven't really pulled the plug and say, hey, I'm going to commit to Georgia, or I'm going to commit to whoever it might be, and now they're saying I'm going to wait till the last day, and the reason is to see what's available more than anything. You know, as I've told you before, I've just been on the pins and needles and had kids get on planes that I put them on and say, hey, we don't have a scholarship for you, and then somebody call me and say they're not coming, and then you wait, had somebody waiting at the airport for them, tell them, hey, we got the scholarship for you, and you just hope that he'd still take it. But, you know, it's just a tough deal here down the stretch, and we're in a situation where we got so many good players that want to come here that's the real key for Kirby, is decide who to take and who can you get too, because at this point sometimes kids' egos get a little bit fractured here and saying, hey, you know, well, you know, why don't you take me right now, and whereas some kids will go right down to the wire and say, you know, this is where I want to go. I tell you the worst thing that I ever had happen to me, and people say they like for you to tell stories. Well, everybody knows about Dwight Clark, the guy that made the great catch for
the 49ers.
For Montana, catch, you know, in the end zone. He was a lifelong North Carolina guy. His mother, his father, both sides, grandfathers and grandmother, all North Carolina graduates. He played quarterback at Geringer High School in Charlotte, and we were recruiting him along with a lot of people, but we had some really good quarterbacks on that were coming, like P.J. Gay from Sanford, Matt Kupak from Sauset, New York, and we weren't going to take but 2 quarterbacks. But I kept telling Coach Dooley, I said, this guy can play another position, Coach. I said, he's a high jumper. He can run. He can jump. He's just a heck of a player. And down at the end, we used to have the Shrine Bowl and then the signing date right after the Shrine Bowl in December, which was an early signing date for the ACC and SEC. And at 12 o'clock that day, I was over at the hotel, and he called me, and he said, Coach, I'm getting ready to sign with Clemson. I'm telling you, I'll still come to North Carolina if you got a scholarship. I said, hey, Dwight, we can't take you. and the rest is history. I mean, he came, he played with Steve Fuller, a good quarterback for Clemson, and got after us a couple of times at North Carolina. But it was just the idea that, you know, you get so ingrained with the kid, and you know the guy's a player, but the head coach has got to make the decision. And in that case, it didn't work out. But there, for everyone like that, there's the guy like Randy McMichael that comes up at the last minute that you don't even know about, and then, you know, just watch him play basketball, and you take him and nobody else wants. But I think the overriding thing that somebody said that I think one of you coaches – I mean, one of you guys had online there was, hey, you just got to have faith in Kirby. Everything, every move he's made so far has been good, and he's going to do the right thing by what he feels the best for Georgia.
Yeah, the guy definitely knows his way around roster management. And, you know, people talked about how many spots are left. Look, they're going to take every kid they can possibly fit into this class. I really firmly believe that. I think the days of undersigning are over. You're going to have guys, you know, it won't surprise me if in the future we're talking about the possibility of gray shirts, you know, anything like that. I think that all of those things are possibilities.
And we're getting some good preferred walk-ons,
absolutely.
Too. You look at some of these guys the way that really just want to come to Georgia. But I think that, as you mentioned, roster management's a good way to say it, and you always talk about being able to look into the future is a real good attribute for anybody, whether business you're doing or whether as a coach or whatever, is see what your needs are and how you're going to amplify that, or see how a guy's going to fit next year compared to last year. I mean, Ben Cleveland's a great example of that. You know, everybody wanting instant success with him, and it took a little while, but he's developed under Coach Pittman. So I think we got these shows and everything for people to ask questions, but just have faith in the fact that got a guy that's a really good manager of personnel.
Well, DeAndre Baker didn't blow up until his sophomore year and midway through.
Right, so, exactly.
I mean, let's pump the brakes on he redshirted, or this guy didn't win as a freshman. You know, sometimes you're behind – oh, I don't know, maybe a Nick Chubb or a Sony Michelle. There might be a reason that you're not seeing the field as much as you would like.
Well, once a year I say this, and I might have said this once on this show, but you know how hard it is to play in the ninth grade in high school.
Right, exactly.
Well, and, you know, just take it up to the first year in college. It's very difficult. But I do feel like that Kirby's using that as a kind of a deal to these kids. Hey, we'll play you if you're ready. If you're good enough to play, we'll play you early. And, you know, we're going to always constantly evaluate our team. And that's why you see when people take over programs that start building the teams up, that the better you get, the less and less freshmen you have playing, because guys have been around and they've been playing and they've been involved with everything you do.
Well, my point is, it's a good thing if your freshmen aren't playing.
Yeah, absolutely. That means that your evaluations were proper and
exactly.
Guys panned out as
so,
you'd hope.
Just say it, you know, if you, this 7 or 8 5 stars come in, if they're not all on the field in their freshman year, you know, that is probably a good sign. You know, the fact that you were able to redshirt the two offensive linemen coming into Georgia that I thought would play. Now, he was telling us Andrew Thomas was great off the bat, and I thought he was good. I just wasn't sure. But I thought Natori Johnson was a shoe-in to take one of those guard spots. Remember, they moved, you know, Galliard out,
yep.
You know. So there's a guard spot open. He's going to come in. And they need a right tackle and a left tackle. And I'm thinking, you know, that big Isaiah Wilson's going to come in and take one of those spots. Both those guys redshirted, which shows what I know. So never, ever listen to me.
Well, you do a pretty good job on that.
But
it's just hard to project a guy. Yeah. You just don't know the level of competition they played against. You don't know how they're going to adjust. A lot of times the football part is okay, but they got to adjust to being away from home, the academic situation. Sometimes kids can't take it psychologically, because they've been used to being the big fish, and all of a sudden now they're having to adjust a little bit. So that's why you got so many people helping here in a lot of different areas. I know we got Jonas Jennings over here today, who was the first guy that we signed at Georgia when I was here. He's done a terrific job with these kids off the field, you know, because he can relate to what all they're going through. And there's a big part of the psychological part there that every kid's got to understand about getting up and going to class, about lifting weights, about doing all the things you got to do besides, you know, doing it on the field. So
to your point, Isaiah Wilson comes down here and he has to adjust to the heat.
Yep.
You know, this guy plays in Brooklyn, you know.
You don't think it's hot up there?
Yeah, it ain't like this.
He's playing on asphalt, man.
Yeah. And then Notori Johnson comes in, and he has issues. He confirmed this with us the other day. He had issues with his diabetes. It's under control now, and he's looking forward to coming back, you know, his redshirt freshman year. You know, Big Ben Cleveland redshirted a year, worked on his flexibility. All of a sudden, you know, towards the end of the season, gets in for the last four games and then the playoff, the bowl game and the playoff. So you got a lot coming back. But to get back to that original question of the 20, you know, how many guys you got left coming in, you've got 20 signees, two commitments, three open spots. You might have a third defensive tackle.
Yeah.
In Rick Sandage,
sure.
Who just visited and then just went to South Carolina. We had an update from our South Carolina site. He says that his final schools are all even. Yeah, Tyson Campbell.
You really think he's going to tell you what he's doing?
Well, yeah, some of these guys, at this point, we get a lot of, it's a two-team race.
Is this
one
true? I was going to ask the guru here. Did his mother go to South Carolina?
She did.
Yeah, well, that.
That's not a good sign.
Well, she's involved in his recruitment.
That,
she's
you
a
know, that,
lady.
That always hurts a little bit. But at the same time, I hadn't heard that, but I knew you would know that. But we're making some good points here. Let's see what the fans want to know here.
Yeah, so we got a couple rolling in here. Brad Hodnett says, we talked about preferred walk-ons a minute ago, and you talked about the idea of roster management. He says, any of the preferred walk-ons caught y'all's eye? The guy that I point to right off the bat, I'm just absolutely springs off the page to me, is Blake Anderson, offensive tackle, 6'4", 325 pounds, out of West Forsyth High School in Cumming, Georgia. This is a three-star offensive
that's
lineman.
The guy I was gonna mention, yeah.
I mean, this is a guy who passed on an offer from UVA. You know, which our people, even Georgia fans on our board said, that's crazy. Why would you pass on a full ride scholarship? Anderson just wants to be part of the team. Grew up loving the Bulldogs. Is a part of this now. And I think is a guy who, you know, who's landing three-star preferred walk-ons. That's not something you see a lot.
6'4", 300-plus pounds.
Yeah.
I mean, that Anderson, and he's very interesting. And, you know, we're following the offer as it was coming through, and then we saw that he pulled the trigger and decided to walk into Georgia. But there's also, when you look at a guy like Stetson Bennett, we mentioned him in the past, this is a guy that had offers elsewhere as well, and these guys are saying, no, I'm going to go play at Georgia. And if you were a three-star offensive lineman and you've seen the offensive line classes of the last 2 years, you got to be confident.
Yeah, you got to feel good about that.
Say, yeah, well, you know, I'm going to go play with those guys.
Those kids know, though, what's here, and they also know that they got a coach, and Coach Pittman's going to give them a shot. I mean, you know, he's going to move guys around, and you look at the way we've moved guys from tackle to center and guard and all that, and, you know, there's a lot to be said about going in and playing for a guy like Coach Pittman as far as reaching your potential. And you can say what you want to about UVA. I mean, it's a good school, and they got a good coach and all, and got a great new athletic director in Carla Williams, but they haven't exactly been knocking them dead on the football field lately.
That's
so
very true.
It's a lot. Say this, everybody, the G is powerful. I mean, hey, if you know, everybody can't be first team, but to say you're on that team that went to the Rose Bowl and played for a national championship, that's a lot to be said about. That's pretty good for a kid from Cumming, Georgia. So, hey, there's – so many other things. What else we got here?
Well, I will say, too, and we talked about you've been talking about this idea of Kirby as the way that he kind of goes about it. I don't normally shout out other publications. Bleacher Report, though, Miran Fader did a really good article on Justin Fields. I do encourage you to go read it if you get a chance. And at the end of it, she sits down with him and says the thing that ended up putting Fields or Georgia over the top for Fields was a players-only meeting. They sat down, and basically the entire group of players that he was with said, "This guy doesn't play politics. If you're good enough, you'll play." And that was what ended up moving the needle for him. So, like I said, go check that out over at Bleacher Report. I don't normally shout out other publications,
but that's
a really good one.
And that's also, again, what we were talking about with Blake Anderson, just the confidence. You know, for if you were Justin Fields and you saw the year that Jake Fromm had, I mean, Fromm's already being mentioned as a Heisman Trophy candidate, you know, what was it, 20-1 odds, you know? So he's already in the top 10 for, you know, and Tua's in there as well, and, you know, a lot of, Love and guys like that. But he's already in that discussion, and you're like, you know, and he remember when he committed, there was already another five-star here in Jacob Eason. So a guy like Justin Fields is saying, look, if I can go to a place that guarantees
the chance.
The talent wins out. And we've seen that because well, we had a great story with and well, it's coming. We'll have it in the coming days with Tyson Summers.
Yeah.
Where this was a guy that Georgia went, you know, full bore on to peel him away from Alabama on the final day of signing day, the morning of signing day. He flips from Alabama to Georgia, and he goes out. He has a bad play. He gave up on a play on a two-point conversion or something. He was supposed to make a run a certain route. He didn't. Kirby chewed him a new one. And I saw people speculating, oh, well, he's gone. That kid, he'll never come back from that butt chewing. He'll never.
Who's that? Not Tyson Summers.
Not his,
well, you know, we got these analysts playing wide receiver.
No, I said this again.
Tyler Simmons.
Come on, hey,
Tyler
man. We're going to fact check you, man.
I said the same thing about 2 months ago. I said the same thing. Tyler Simmons.
We got the police over here, man. We
got to talk about coaches here in a minute. And Tyson Summers popped up. But Tyler Simmons, he gets yelled at, just absolutely destroyed by Kirby Smart, you know, and Kirby's like, you wonder why you don't play more? It's because of stuff like that. And I asked him about it, point blank. I'm like, what happened? He says, well, I gave up on the play. And I said, but, you know, you came back from that because in the Oklahoma game, you had some big plays. In the national championship game, you had some plays. You had the offsides penalty against Alabama in that game. And he says, look, I messed up. Kirby was right to call me out on it. I'm never giving up on a play again. And this guy was just very pro-Kirby.
Sure.
And I, just back to your, you know, the roster management and not playing favorites, if there was anybody that you would think Kirby would give a pass to, it would be Tyler Simmons because of how hard he recruited. And remember, they had all the coaches show up with a bulldog puppy at his house the night before, you know, the end of the before the dead period.
Yeah, and it was he was the first big flip from Alabama on signing day.
Exactly. So you know, the playing favorites. No, he messed up and he got called out in front of God and everybody. He did not take it. You know, he knew that. Hey, but going forward, if I do my job, and then he's been a demon on special teams since. So a guy like Justin Fields says, you know, if I go to practice and I do better than Jake Fromm, I'm going to get on the field. DeAndre Swift shows up, and you got the number two and number three running backs in the history of Georgia football, and he's like, you know, if I show what I can do, I'll play. So,
well, let's go back to November and all. When you first asked me what's the most important thing in recruiting, I said, give me the top three. I said, Justin Fields. And the only thing I would say about him is going back to the summer, seeing him over here interacting with the players. I mean, he likes being around Georgia. And the one thing you always look at as a player is what's your supporting cast going to be? Where would I go to school if I wasn't playing football? What can happen if things aren't going good? How's it going to be around here? And, you know, you look back at his choices. Now, all of a sudden, every coach that was recruiting him at Penn State is gone. Every coach at Florida State that was recruiting him is gone. He's in a situation right here now where he's still got the same coaches who had chances to leave and go elsewhere, still here. Dale McGee, Coley, and Coach Chaney are all here. So, you know, he had a good feel for our staff, and that's a lot to say about who your boss is. But I just would say this. On Facebook Live, 11 Alive, hey, this guy is a generational quarterback. Now, whether he can beat out Jake, who's got a head start on, remains to be seen. But you're not going to go out there and develop the prototype any more than what he brings to the table. After that, he's going to have to do it. He's going to have to get coached. He's going to have to get fit. But, you know, I've played freshman quarterbacks and won with them, and it's pretty obvious we won with Jake, and Jake's going to be better. If he's the starting quarterback, he's going to be a lot better because of the way he's going to be pushed, just like he pushed Eason last year. But it's going to be a lot of up and downs on that, and people are going to talk about spring practice and all that. But just be thankful.
Spring's going to be fun.
That we got a guy like that here to go along with the tremendous year that Jake had.
Well, we're quite thankful that you're doing the show with us, and we have a cake for you, Coach.
Something for you, Coach.
Unbelievable. That is really nice.
Hey, happy birthday.
Hey, that's a real good surprise there. I mean,
you didn't see that coming.
I was one of the biggest surprises I've had since I've been 73. Hey, that's pretty nice.
12, 48. Well, blow those out because we got questions for you. So you got to blow it fast.
Hey, yeah, I'm just going to say I'm going to tell you my wish is, hey, we're going to win the national championship.
All right. Nice.
Big blow.
Well, we do have questions, and we'll cut up this cake.
That's
here
very nice, sir. That's really good.
A little ring of the bell for
hey,
you.
Hey, I appreciate that. Way to ring it there.
Roger Murray asks, any updates on Otis, my man Reese? Now, you got to explain the whole
– Sure.
The fact that Otis Reese on the UGA Sports Message Board is known as OMMR. It's not – we're not calling him Omar.
Yep.
Like my cousin.
Exactly.
Shout out to cousin Omar. Yeah.
No, Otis, for those of you, I assume – if you're watching this, I assume you've probably watched Animal House. Obviously, when they roll up into the bar, he yells at the guy on stage, says, "Otis, my man,
Otis Day in the Night."
Yeah, that's right. And so I don't know. I think Burrow Dog was the one that coined it, if I'm not mistaken. One of our favorite guys, one of our longest tenured subscribers, and a guy who brings a lot to the board. He coined the phrase. So anyway, Otis, my man, Reese has stuck, and people want to know.
We can't shake it.
Yeah. What does Otis say about it?
Well, that's a great question because no one talks to Otis.
He talks to no one.
That's true. You're but exactly I've
heard,
right.
I've heard, you know, like Frank Howard said, we have heard from a reliable source. So I've heard from a reliable source that this kid really liked it here last weekend. He likes the players, and the players feel good about him. So we'll have to see. The best recruiters you got are your own guys, and all of a sudden he starts walking around seeing all these guys we got playing, and they're from his home state. And then all of a sudden he's going to go up there to Michigan where they don't have any grits or don't have anything.
And it's 5 degrees
and they don't feed them champies every week and stuff like that.
I will say, too, you know, you mentioned your own guys being your greatest recruiters. You know, I just something I've caught over the course of the last year is that Otis's former teammate, Aubrey Solomon, who a lot of people probably remember from signing day last year, went to Michigan. And from what I've heard, not been that enjoyable of an experience for him.
Well, how can it be enjoyable when you're getting your ass beat? I mean, seriously, what did they do this year? Who did they beat?
No one. But I think that works hand in hand. You know, that having a close friend, a guy like that, who can go to a program and say, well, "Hey, here's my experience."
And the one thing he could say to him, you can look at it two ways. He can say, "Hey, man, you know, we didn't do very good. We got a good young team here. We got a quarterback transfer. We're going to be better. Hey, we'll come on up here." Or you can say, "Look, man, I made a mistake. I'm having to make my bed and live with it. You need to go somewhere else." You just never know what he's telling
me. Exactly.
But that's the best thing to me about the culture here that has been established. The parents, even the parents of the ones that aren't playing, are going to tell these kids, "Hey, my son's getting a fair shake. He's just not good enough right now," as compared to a bunch of bitching and moaning by people in the losing program.
Shout out to Anita Holloman, Jeremiah Holloman's mom,
absolutely,
who is on Facebook and Twitter and all the stuff. She's recruiting these kids left and right.
She's repping the G.
Do you really think those people look at that?
Yeah.
I mean – maybe they do, but I tell you what they look at.
I'm not saying they're going to influence their
when
decision.
They come into games and go over there and see them and look at them. But,
that means
maybe
a lot more. But just if you
and
got,
I wasn't being negative about that. I'm glad she's helping them, and I hope her son develops like I think he's going
but
to.
But that's a perfect example. I mean, here's a guy who's not playing a whole lot
yet. If I was coaching, I'd tell the parents to stay off of that. Yeah. I wouldn't let them do it.
Well, she stays away from all the negative stuff. But if a kid you know, has an offer or you know is making a decision, she sends him a little note, "Hey, you know, come play with my kid."
If I get a parent that's starting to go online and make all these statements and all, I'm going to call them. I say, "Look, here's the deal. You know, you can keep it to yourself, but we don't need any of our dirty laundry or clean laundry out in public here. We, you know, what stays in around butt smear stays there." So, you know, I had some guys over the years that parents wanted to come out there and practice, watch them practice. I said, "Hey, you can watch them, but you can't say anything about it, and you can't walk over there and try to coach them up and stuff." I mean, come well, I've been coaching this guy since, you know. Hey, but that's neither here nor there. Let's see what else we got here. That was a good point.
Let's go with Ben McCullough's question here.
Sure.
Coach, how do you compare Roquan Smith or Boss Bailey or any other stud you had at linebacker.
How do you compare him with those guys?
Well, he has enormous speed, which you just don't get for a guy that size, which really makes up for a little bit of lack of size, you know, because for the pro game, you know, because you look at these pro linebackers, got to take on blocks and on. Hopefully he can put on a few. But he's a lot like, you know, I would say Will Witherspoon, speed type. You know, Will's a track guy in high school, and, you know, a little bit different makeup as far as physical ability as Kendrell Bell, but the ability to close like Kendrell did and make the big hit. And just football sense like Boss had. You know, he had really good ability to diagnose things and was very confident, played quarterback in high school. But unfortunately for me, the really good times that Boss played, I didn't get to coach him because he hurt his knees sophomore year and, you know, really was a dynamic player for Coach Rick. But I think this guy goes down as being one of the best linebackers to ever play at Georgia or the SEC.
We got another one here from Hal Love. I think this is a very interesting
Hal one. Hal, he watches every week. I like you, Hal.
Shout out to Hal for sure. He says, Coach, how do you see –
where's he base out of anyway?
That's a good question. Let's see if I can find out real quick. Hal keeps it. Hal keeps it under wraps.
And tell Hal, what's your home base there, man?
What's your home address? We want to come by.
We like the fact that you're in here every week.
We'll bring you some Founders.
Hal says, Coach, how do you see this quarterback situation going at Georgia this season? I know Fromm probably starts to get the gear going, but do you believe Kirby's going to use a two quarterback system? And if so, you know, how long until he goes with just one? Do you think that there's a chance we see?
Did you just give me this cake? You just asked, do you think you'll play two quarterbacks? Did you just give me this? I mean, it's not going to be a situation where, like Steve Spurrier used to do, where you run a guy in and out or you run different series and all that. But I do feel like he's going to give the guy every opportunity because even though Jake has some tremendous experience, he's only been here 1 year. So, you know, let's see how he keeps improving what he does. But as I mentioned, you got to – you always got to look at talent, and the guy presents a talent. I mean, when you got to make 4 yards on third down and you got a guy that can run 98 quarterback counter or 48 quarterback slant or number two quarterback draw and make big yards, hey, you got to look at him. And now I think that Jake can certainly do that too, but not the extent that that Justin can. So it's not fair to sit in here and compare what one guy can do and what the other guy can or vice versa. But you just have the biggest thing that I would tell the fans is not to get too caught up in the fact that he's such a good runner. Let's get caught up in the fact he's a phenomenal passer too. Yes. To go with it. So it's just going to be a very good competition, and it's going to be based on production, not potential. And it'll be a case where – you know, you got a head coach. His job is to get the best players on the field at every position, not just quarterback. So we'll see that.
I love the idea of when you bring in Justin Fields and everyone's worried about him running. And you saw him at the Nike, the opening.
Yeah.
Worried about getting hurt or what?
No, when you bring in Justin Fields and everyone's like, hey, he's coming in. Let's the defensive coordinator is worried about him running.
Bring everybody up into the box.
Bring everybody up because this guy's going to run it. You saw him in these 7-on-7s where the quarterbacks are not running. Absolutely pick defenses apart.
Yeah, he's
the same thing for Jake Fromm too. So I love the idea that a defensive coordinator is going to be focused on, oh, they're bringing him in that wildcat. He's going to run it, and you basically got a guy who's as accurate as Jake Fromm back there. So.
But here's the other thing that all the fans can get back to is last year at this time we were talking about what kind of chance is Fromm going to have. You know, hey, why did he come to Georgia?
Right.
He came here for the same reason that Justin did, to have a chance to play for his state school. That's why he did it. He knew what we had, and he was perfectly content being the backup at that point till Jacob got hurt. So I just think we can waste a lot of breath talking about that. It's going to be a good competition, and hey, watch out for Stetson Bennett too, man. Yeah. I'm telling you, he's a player.
Your boy Hal Love is out of Fayetteville, Georgia.
Hey, I like it. I knew he had a lot of qualities I like there. I like that Fayetteville. Hey, he probably likes to go to the races over there.
Coach, I got some some texts the other day about Nitro, West Virginia.
Nitroglycerin, man.
No, tell me about Nitro, West Virginia.
Well, Nitro's right there between Charleston and Huntington, and they have a chemical plant there that's really, really good, but it doesn't smell very good. And, you know, one of my coaches here, Greg Atkins, played high school ball there at Nitro, and there's always been some good players coming out of there. And there's two good players up in Huntington this year that are juniors that you guys have had on the – I think Walker and Nestor are two outstanding players that I'm sure we're recruiting hard that Coach Smart and his staff are going to get after. But what is it in particular about Nitro they want to know?
He said he wants a – he said he's wondering if you got any Nitro West Virginia recruiting stories.
You know, we were trying to recruit of course, we were trying to recruit Randy Moss from over there, but he wasn't from Nitro. He was from another smaller area. But there's a lot of stories up there in West Virginia. I know one time I went in this kid's house, and I'd just been about four different ones, and I was trying to put the hammer on him. And then, you know, I wasn't too fired up because he told me he'd just gotten back from Ohio State, and I was at Marshall. You know, I'm saying, God, what am I doing in there? I called him by the wrong name once. Oof. Which I couldn't believe I did. But Coach Billings said, "Coach, can I see you a minute?" And I said, "Hold on." So I went over. He said, "Coach, that guy's name is." So I said, "Yeah, that's what I thought." But you know, but that's not good. That might have been in Nitro where I had that smell that just got my. All right, what else we got?
Let's see. Michael Morrow says, "Do you think Georgia will go 11-1 in the regular season again this year?" Really early prediction on the
season.
Hey,
listen to
Michael's.
The State of the Union there. We're going to go by that pretty quick. We're going to hit that. But, hey, 11-1 is good.
Yeah, and I will say, you know, looking at the schedule, it is another favorable schedule for Georgia. I think that they got some real winnable games on the
favorable.
There,
so.
All right, that should be pretty easy. I like this question from Brandon Burnside. It says, "What incoming freshman's highlight tape sticks out the most to the coach?"
Justin Fields.
Let's go past him. Anybody else whose tape you watch, you're like, I like this kid.
He just keeps Justin Fields' tape on repeat.
No, I mean, I'm the quarterback coach, but I don't know that anybody – you know, I like Campbell. I mean, I just like his – what he can do on the back end. I've looked at all these guys. I mean, there's – when you watch it highlight tape, you can see so many good things. I like to watch the – you know, the full game and see how they do that, but I don't spend the time on it I used to. But that's probably the best thing to ask the recruiting guy. Who do you like the best?
I think if we're talking both sides of the ball, offensively, I think Jamari Sailor's been as good as anybody at his position, regardless of position. I think that he's top notch. I think that on offense, he's the guy that I look at. And then defensively, you know, one of the guys that I watched his high school tape, and I haven't seen much of his JUCO tape just because I don't think he's put very much out, but Devontae Wyatt. He had such a fun high school tape coming out. Played a lot of running back.
You
which
liked
I
him because
loved.
He lined up in running
yeah,
back.
Yeah, but he was good. He
I like Wyatt.
Like,
I like
he's 300 pounds.
Hey, and along those lines, guys that are reported just been phenomenal so far here in the all-season program, and the way particularly Hill, everybody's all jacked up about the way he looks and the way he's working out. And you know, obviously we got some other guys too, but it's just a good time to eat some cake, man.
Now the guy whose tape I like, you know, because again, watching highlights, everyone looks good in their highlights. Of course, Samir White's highlights are just freakish.
Ridiculous.
You know, you're like, is what is he, 46?
Is anyone playing? Yeah. Are they really trying?
Is he playing?
He can forget
Mighty
about Jameer because he's hurt. I mean, that's terrible. I mean, I shouldn't be. No, that sounds like saying, Charles Barkley. That's terrible.
Now I'm talking about highlight tape that I enjoy watching because you're like, wow, this kid's going to be fun to watch, is Adam Anderson.
Oh, yeah.
That's a ridiculous
killer.
Highlight
killer.
Tape.
I mean, hey, look at him. I was mad at
again,
him.
Again,
he
played against ninth graders.
I didn't like him hitting fields like that in that game.
When he jumps over a guy and flings fields to the ground in a senior tape. That's
well, look at him and look at two guys that we didn't have that we got, Adams and Scott and Cox.
Yep.
Yeah. Brendan Cox is not his highlight tape. Just watch the last game he played in.
Urban Meyer was, I mean, I don't talk to him much, but he was so excited about getting Cox and everything. And I said, yeah, that's great, but you got to hold on to him, Coach. But
which we knew that wasn't going to happen. So.
Well, and another great one, I think, too, if you're into watching film like we are, Kyaris Jackson, get out there and, watch his.
Come on.
Both sides of the ball. It's so much fun.
Watch him return.
Hey, and also, you're doing such a great job down there with the video when you did the signing. I mean, commitment.
Thank you.
I
really riding in on top of the truck.
Hey, hey, that was awesome. That was. You should get an Emmy for that. Everybody's sitting on. That's what's going to be interesting on Wednesday. I mean, anticlimactic signing day, isn't it?
For Georgia, yes, absolutely. I think so. I mean, I think that it's really I think that, you know, most of the hay's in the barn. You still got a couple of big targets out there. But compared to other years, yeah, there's no comparison. It's not nearly as exciting. Now, that's great for me. I love that.
The worst highlight, the worst I've ever felt about a highlight film. These coaches, we used to get these guys, send them in there, and we'd just be sitting in there and going through them all. And the guy gives me this big build-up on this kid, big lineman, you know, said he can really run, he's agile and everything. And so you know how they come out of the dressing room and they got those big banners out there and they run through the banner? He ran through the banner and fell down. I said, we don't want this kid. He can't even run through the damn banner, man.
That's a run into Bullsey's highlight tape right there, brother. Just couldn't go through.
I wonder
the paper.
Tom Brady's highlight looked in high school.
That's a really good question. I'd need to go back and watch that. Brian Deal, though, good question here, I think, for you, Coach. He says, with coaching changes in the East the past 1 to 2 years, who do you see as Georgia's most consistent threat in the East for the next 5 years? Mullen, Pruitt, or Muschamp?
Well, it's three good coaches that all have good plans and they all have good programs, with a lot of resources. I think any one of the three could be make their program be better, and they're definitely going to help it. I just think from what I know about all three, they're all driven. I'd hate to say one over the other, but, Muschamp had a little bit further way to go when he got there, and I think maybe Pruitt does now, but he's making remarkable strides in their recruiting too. And then Florida, just a situation, if you get the right guy there, it ought to be able to win big.
Mullen's gonna kill it at Florida.
Absolutely.
Gotta get a new defensive coordinator though.
Yeah, well, you don't like Third Grantham?
I mean, he'll be good for a year.
I think
and you're right, this first year he is lights out.
I think Muschamp's kind of the easy pick, just because he's got to leap on those guys.
But he's got to beat Clemson.
That's true.
How's he going to get – is he really beating Clemson in recruiting yet?
But that's not going to factor into the SEC East.
No, but I'm just saying it makes a difference in the personnel, though. You look when Stevie Boy was really doing good there is when he's getting Clowney and Lattimore and Alshon Jeffrey and all
that. Every time
guys.
He got the state's number one player, they did phenomenal, and because he could – a great coach could coach those guys up. But to your point, if you're going head-to-head trying to get a kid in-state and it's you versus Clemson or, just regionally, that's tough. So, but I really think, and answer the question, Dan Mullen, and I hate when people say this because it's not fair to the work the coaches do, but when people say Florida recruits itself, it's a lot easier to get a kid to come to Florida than Tennessee. It's a lot easier to get them to come to South Carolina.
Well, I can tell you this unequivocally. Yeah. Of all the places I've ever recruited against, when a guy goes to Florida for a weekend compared to any other place that I had to beat a guy on, whether I was at Oklahoma going against Nebraska or whatever it might be, they're the toughest one-on-one recruit because of the weather, everything involved. And they got a lot of money down there that I don't know exactly how that money gets used.
Well, you also have, just the in-state factor, because we're talking about, Georgia pool of kids in-state. When you're down there, yes, you have to go up against Florida State and Miami. It's tough, but there's still plenty of kids to go around. I mean, you have, D1 kids?
Have you ever seen a situation, though, where all three programs are this up in the air? Although Rick turned it around a little bit this year for sure. I mean, more than a little bit. But you got a new coach at Florida State who has a losing career record. Any way you look at it, the guy's done some good things, but he's never, he doesn't have a winning record. And Mullen has a not a great record in the SEC, but a lot of it has to be where he was. He did a phenomenal job where he was. So I think people still going into Florida and getting players.
There's definitely turmoil. I mean, you had a situation last year where the best team in the state was UCF.
National champs.
Florida Atlantic, really not that far behind. And those
Central Florida, South Florida.
Those programs are starting to pull players, not necessarily the top-level guys, but they're starting to get some of those high three-star, maybe even a low four-star once in a while, a guy who feels like they can come in, make a legacy for themselves. So, the hotbed of Florida recruiting has really, really expanded, I think, in the last 2 years.
Well, the good thing about it is you can go into Dade County or – Broward County, and watch a practice. We need to recruit this guy. Just walked in here. Has he got any eligibility? Nice looking guy.
Yeah.
But seriously, you go down there, and within a 50-mile radius, you see so many players. It's unreal, and I think Rick's starting to keep them at home. And when Miami's been good, that's what they've been able to do, and that's what's good about Georgia. Go into suburban Atlanta area and get the right guys. You got a head start right off the bat as far as building your base.
I'm going to pull these two questions here, kind of combine them together. John Kaiser asks, how does Georgia finish out this recruiting class, the most likely scenario? That's kind of what we were discussing right off the bat. Like I said, before we even put up our lights and the cameras and everything, the first question I got in the door was, how does Georgia finish? I don't think we mentioned the possibilities, but we didn't really give a prediction.
Yeah. Tyson Campbell, we've talked about him. Somebody asked about him
I'm going to bring that. Like I said, yeah. I'll combine this question. So Nick Stanford asks, are you still pretty confident with Campbell at this moment, and would Quay Walker or Omar Reese be in this class? So let's combine those two questions and kind of, and then we'll get to the coaches.
I think Tyson Campbell is definitely in the mix for us. You got to go to Miami this weekend, which is going to be tough. Being around all those people that are in his – in the area that he knows and all. But I feel like we got a heck of a shot on him. And then, Quay Walker, maybe the fact that Pruitt left Alabama and now is at Tennessee, maybe put it up in the air a little more as far as our chances there. And then Reese, who knows? But he's an in-state player that sees all these other great players in the state coming here. I think that draw's got to help you. Tommy Bush, who knows what's going to happen there. He might be somebody we got on hold.
Well, the coaches will be in to see him this week.
You said Green, the wide receiver in Florida.
Yeah, Antoine Green. I think he's a guy who's kind of hanging on that periphery.
We might go for him, too. So,
Caleb Johnson out of Columbus High School. out of Northside in Columbus, Georgia.
Yeah, I like him. He's kind of not very tall. What is he, 6'2", 290 or something?
Yeah, something like that.
So, there's nothing wrong with being 6'2", but 6'4", or 5 helps you a little bit.
And then, you have Rick Sandage, the defensive tackle. You've already got Jordan Davis and Tramell Walther committed. So what happens
They haven't signed, though, right?
No, they've not signed. So if you get a Rick Sandage calls you up and says, hey, I want to come, do you drop one of those guys?
Yes.
Okay. I'm just saying.
You work it out.
You work it out.
You're not going to take three defensive tackles.
No, you're going to – you got a situation where you got the best available it's like a draft. You got the best available player, you got your needs, and you got what you can get and what you might get. So what supersedes the other? In the case of Tyson Campbell, I would say if you had 90 defensive backs and you're still recruiting him, you'd still go. So, we'll just have to see there. But it'd be hard to take three D linemen maybe.
And so the way I see it, to answer John and Nick's question, two – defensive lineman, one way or the other.
A defensive back,
Tyson Campbell. One wide receiver, either Tommy Bush or Antoine Green, and one linebacker, Quay Walker or Otis Reese.
Yeah, and the guy that I think Caleb Johnson is the ultimate swing guy. I think he gets first rights to refusal if things trickle down.
If you miss out on linebacker, you miss out on defensive back.
That sounds good.
That's our prediction as it stands. Now, later in the week, Jake has – and we see people – copy this all the time, but this is something we've been doing probably since 97, but we have a hot board. Here's who is in the mix. Here's who's Georgia's after. Has Georgia moved up or moved down for them? Now, we put it out last week with the guys that are in the mix. Going forward, we're going to, after we do our digging and do our due diligence, we will determine whether or not Georgia's chances have increased or decreased for each player. And some of those guys visited this past weekend, and we'll talk to our sources and kind of find out. Before we get to this, coaches always recruiting. always recruiting. So a tall guy walks in, John is like, hey, you got any eligibility?
He might be a Florida assistant coach here coming in there and get some champions, man.
We have
a guy has to bend down and go through the door. Dave, who is that guy? From where?
Nebraska. Oh, wow.
Well, you know, hey, they got walk-on basketball players, too.
They need tight ends.
Can you believe that that guy, I Am Hip, was a walk-on at Nebraska from Columbia, South Carolina?
No.
It always infatuated Switzer. How in the hell did you get a walk-on running back that was all-conference from Columbia, South Carolina?
All right, I think we're
somebody got to cut this union. Cake here. Dave, yeah. I got a lot of fans here wanting a piece of this cake.
Yeah, we'll split that cake.
Cut it up here, please. I want some of these people. Hey, we got a couple good special guests here today. Happy Dix is here, a great player in Georgia. Is a friend Mr. Chalmers? Is that right? Who I met in 1968, and he remembered it. And
wow.
Of course I didn't, but he's a specialist on chicken, so he's checking you out in here, Josh.
Happy Dix is a Georgia legend. So
exactly, we talked about his father-in-law last week.
Claude Williams.
Claude gave him a good plug on here, and just a nice service on Friday, and glad you're over here, Happy. So
Happy deserves cake more than the rest of us, so let's get him.
Hey, everybody, I mean, just say something for the old coach here. That's a good surprise,
but
man.
But before we get into the state of the program, a quick programming note, if you will, swing by UGASports.com, go to the event. We have some coaching updates for you, a name you need to know. We're not going to share it here because it's behind the paywall, but we were the first to put out in the news last week that we thought James Coley might be shifting positions. He might no longer be the wide receivers coach. He might wind up coaching quarterbacks, which means they would need a wide receivers coach. We talked about maybe the tight ends. They don't replace Shane Beamer with a tight ends coach. Maybe they replace him. They move the tight end somewhere else. You went down and spoke to John Fitzpatrick, and he said, hey, I expect to be working more with Jim Chaney, the offensive coordinator. So there's a lot of machinations going on with the coaching staff that are very interesting, and we have some names for you. So swing by UGASports.com, click on the vent. You'll see it there. Some stuff.
It's amazing, man. You got the hotline stuff.
I'm just saying you're not going to find the stuff anywhere else. So swing by UGA Sport. And if you're not a member, it's 27 cents a day. Become a member. It's especially with
give us
27
a
cents a day?
Yes, sir.
Amazing.
Peanuts.
Dave can even afford that.
Dave.
Of course, we charge twice.
Dave has some good stats, so you know what?
He does. Speaking of, you need to check out his Sony Michel by the numbers, Nick Chubb by the numbers, and Dominic Sanders by the numbers, where he basically goes back through their career and looks at some stats that they have. And
it's ridiculous.
The stuff that he had on Sony Michel and Nick Chubb, my favorite one on Nick Chubb, he had more 100-yard games than games in which he did not rush for 100 yards. It's like 27 to 26. How do you have – I know I get the numbers wrong, but he had more games in which he had 100 yards than not.
Yeah.
That's insane.
I guarantee you wait to this combine – he is going to knock them naked. I mean, he's going to have a combine that this
– we should have a running bet on how many reps he does on the 225 because he is strong as an ox.
Well, but catch the ball.
Those short arms, I mean, he's going to kill it. Okay, Coach, we need the state of the program. And if you will, let's start with recruiting.
Yeah. What we're going to do here today is – have a little basically state of the union deal. So I was hoping I could get right in the middle here so I could really look
Please
at my
free.
Teleprompter. But
just look right up there, yeah.
But seriously, my fellow dog nation, I come before you because I cannot come behind you. I'd like to tell you on the second Tuesday of next week, there'll be a ladies' auxiliary meeting for men only. Now, we're going to talk about the state of the dog nation under Kirby Smart, which is just unbelievably out of sight after 2 years. What a tremendous job he's done. First of all, recruiting. All of us know we're in the top two right now, fighting with Ohio State for one or two based on the numbers. But I just think if you look at this class as far as needs, as far as what we need to do to supplement the present squad, just a fabulous job. I know that Kirby's out the last 2 weeks working on the 19 and 20 classes and gotten a lot of response for that. Had over 20 kids in last weekend, juniors that are going to be players for next year. Got about 25 more coming in this weekend. So I think we've been able to hit the recruiting extremely hard today and talk about the needs and what might happen. So I'm not going to go on to that too much today because we've already hit it. So the next thing we had was as far as the SEC next year. I think, first of all, we got to look at two of the three teams we play as crossover, probably the top three in the West, and the fact that LSU and Auburn are very good teams coming back. And then, of course, hopefully we'd be playing Alabama again for the SEC. But I think our schedule certainly sets up extremely well with the teams we play, non-conference. Austin Peay's really improved, but Middle Tennessee's got a good quarterback. Georgia Tech's got a lot of players back. But, you know, and UMass is a team that's well coached. But I think all four of those really look good for us. Got two tough on-the-road games starting out against Missouri and then South Carolina. Both got returning quarterbacks. But I like what we got coming back. I like the fact that we should be the favorite in the East and have a really good shot. As far as our team itself, offensively, offensive line is going to be very competitive. Wide receiver, we got really good players there. Tight ends, you know about them. Quarterback, we've talked about that early. And then running back, hopefully Zamir is going to be ready to give us some depth to go along with the three guys we got back. And then I think defensively, the big key is how we're going to move around with the line, how that's going to really develop. But hopefully some of these younger guys will surface. The linebackers look to me like they got ability, but, you know, when you lose a guy like Roquan, it's hard to replace him straight up. So it'll be a myriad of those type guys. Secondary is going to be a lot more athletic, maybe not as much experience. Kicking game, of course, we got Rod and we got the punter coming in, who I think is going to really do a good job. And then we got Miko returning kicks, so I like all of that. And then as far as the rest of the league, though, I think the East is going to be up for grabs after us. You know, people knock each other around who they play across, but I really like our shot. I talked about our schedule, and then what was the last thing we were going to talk about?
Facilities.
Well, we could talk about facilities, and that's the one thing we got to really look at. If you look at the three teams that were in the playoff along with us, Clemson, Oklahoma, and Alabama, all three have new weight rooms, new buildings in a lot of different areas. Our weight room right now is 8,000 square feet. Alabama's 41,000 square feet. We got to make a significant move with our weight room, find a place for our kids to eat, build a cafeteria along with that, and I think that'll work in the short term. Hopefully, get that rolling, because everybody's talking about the new dressing room, which is great. I mean, I think that's awesome. But do you realize that we've had the same dressing room down there since 1971? Same one. So it's not like all of a sudden because we're doing this, we're really being proactive. I mean, hey, it's good.
It's a little overdue.
It's great. It's about somebody like being 12 months pregnant, you know, overdue. So we got this weight room coming. But I also feel like there's some good amenities coming with that for the rest of the people. You know, even though you're talking about a $63 million outlay, you're looking at some really good enhancements for, some bathrooms, some concession stands, a lot of things in that end zone are going to help it.
The recruiting aspect of it is phenomenal.
But then you add selfishly, the recruiting room and the dressing room are going to be great for helping our kids' morale. But getting back to it, we got to get a weight room going. We got to get a cafeteria. We got to do something about our butt smear building as far as the confinement of it. You know, we don't have enough office space for our coaches now. Well, hopefully we're going to get bigger there. Our meeting rooms need to get expanded because, our room that our kids meet in as a group is the oldest one in the SEC. So hopefully we can build that and get it expanded. But overall, I think that's the number one issue to me that we got to do is continue to work on our facilities, not just because what we need, but because what our competitors have. So if you look at those other three teams, go online and look at Clemson's new facility, look at Oklahoma's new facility, look at Alabama's new weight room, and that's who we're recruiting against. You know what I mean? We're going against those people. South Carolina, Tennessee, and Kentucky have all built new buildings here in the last 2 years. So these guys are all in our bailiwick who we go against. So I'm not reading the riot act. I'm just saying let's just don't sit on our haunches here because we got a big-time coach that knows what to do. The State of the Union is appropriate money, spend it, and get it out there. You know what I mean? So everything's good, but – could be better. So we got to get better. That's the state.
Spoken like a true coach.
I'm about to say, that's the most coachiest State of the Union I've ever heard in our existence. With that, we're going
no teleprompter there. That's pretty good without
good
notes.
Good job. Good job for 73. You nailed it.
Yeah.
I couldn't get through half of that.
I knew this cake was
notes.
Here.
Actually, it was supposed to be a 20-minute segment, but we got cake in front of them, so we shrunk that down to about 5. Anyway, we're going to say adios to everybody. Thanks for tuning in. Real quick, we want to shout out to Your Pie, Athens Ford, Cable East, 365 Game Day, 11 Alive, Champies,
Founders Brewing,
and all our good friends who put up with us day in and day out. Thank you so much for being part of the show, and we will talk to you next week, which will be the day before signing day, so be sure to tune in next Tuesday at noon on 11 Alive.
That's it for this episode of the UGA Sports Live Podcast. Tune in next week for more Georgia Bulldogs news and notes from Athens.